Hi, I'm Mark Budd.
And I'm Jair Briggs Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports.
This is a Tripod production.
The following is a Tripod production. Do not attempt to adjust your dial. Mark Budd and Jair Briggs Davis, two friends growing up in the Big Apple, two friends who became sports writers at the top of their craft. Mark, the assistant sports editor at Drexel University's The Triangle. Jair, the color commentator and reporter at Curry College. On their own, they give their own unique insights. However, together, Mark and Jair explain sports.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Mark and Jair Explain Sports. I am Jair Briggs-Davis.
And I'm Mark Budd.
So Mark, a few things have been going on since we last spoke. Let's get into some of those juicy details. First off, let's start out with the NBA playoffs. Mark, how do you think things are going right now?
Well, it's not what everyone expected. The Bucks are gone. The Clippers are gone. So they were pretenders and not contenders, like people said they were. The Heat are legit, even though the Celtics won the last game. I still...
Whoa, Mark. You and I were both in the same boat. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to say this. Let's not say that they're legit yet.
They are legit. They knocked off the Bucks.
Okay, they're very good. They're very good, but we got to keep that same luck, especially because we're playing Boston right now.
They're going to win. So, well, anyway, as I was saying, the Heat... I was surprised everyone, I think, in the bubble of how good they're playing, but they continue to do it. And I think that goes to show how good of a coach Eric Spoelstra is and how good of a leader Jimmy Butler is. Good job, Elton Brand. Anyway, and the Lakers, they look good, but the Nuggets are tough, as you saw last night with the Nuggets winning that game. And many think that the Nuggets should be up 2-1, although I don't particularly agree with that because – the shot that Anthony Davis hit was fair and square. I don't know why people think they should be up 2-1. So I think the Lakers, it's fair. But the Nuggets, they're still in this, man. And I would not be surprised to see the Nuggets win the series, but I don't expect them to. But at the same time, no one expected them to win the past two series, to come back from 3-1 and win. So you can't count this team out. And it's going to be a good test for the Lakers to see if they're really legit or they're just a pretender like the Los Angeles Clippers. Jair, what do you think of everything that's going on in the playoffs?
Well, Mark, you and I, we had several discussions, especially when things were coming along with the bubble, plans were being made, and we discussed and we talked about who's the better team in LA between the Clippers and Lakers. You said the Lakers, and I said the Clippers.
And you were way off, man.
I was wrong. I was off. Fans, I am way off. But let's go into that series right now between the Clippers and the Nuggets and with what the Denver Nuggets are doing right now against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Denver Nuggets, I felt like they are a very serious, they're a team that you should take seriously. They made it to Game 7 of the Western Conference semifinals last year against the Portland Trail Blazers. They are a very talented team, but I did not think that they could actually beat the Clippers. I feel like this series is not over between them and the Lakers. It's going to be a dogfight. We were talking about that Anthony Davis trade, which is pure luck. I mean, like how people thought it was pure luck and stuff like that and whatever. I saw
the biggest mistake the Lakers made was trading Brandon Ingram instead of Kyle Kuzma. Imagine if they had Brandon Ingram instead of Kyle Kuzma right now.
Brandon Ingram would have been way better.
And I'm pretty sure the Pelicans would have still done that.
Yeah, but on that play when Anthony Davis hit the game winner, I noticed it was Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee. Plumlee wanted to switch with Grant while Grant was guarding LeBron, but Grant didn't switch off. He stayed, which helped give Anthony Davis more breathing room for the final shot.
Still impressive shot, though.
It was a good shot. I remember right before everything shut down, I remember he tried to hit the game winner against Brooklyn, and that one didn't sink, but this one sunk. And he showed up in prime time. The Nuggets are a very good team, and it's going to be a dogfight, and... this is going to go, I feel, 6 or 7. It's hard for me to predict about what could happen. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are two very talented players, and the question is, you know, who else could step up? Onto the Eastern Conference, though, the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, that's another very rough and tough one. I know a lot of fans are wanting to see LA and Boston go head-to-head again. But also, Mark, imagine LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers going up against the Miami Heat, his old team.
I think either matchup is intriguing. You got the Lakers-Celtics rivalry potentially happening, but I think the Heat possess a harder matchup for the Lakers because they have Jimmy Butler and they're so deep and their defense seems to be a little bit better. Then the Celtics, I don't know if I'd call them drama queens, but they kind of seem, they kind of give me the vibes that the Clippers have. Like, they're not all there, you know what I mean?
Yes. Hey, Mark, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Okay.
I am sorry. You know what? I wanted the Clippers to win, but a part of me is not sorry that the Clippers lost because of how they talked about Damian Lillard and how they treated him, to be honest with you.
That's a very good point, Jagger.
That one pissed me off, especially from the fact that Damian Lillard has worked very hard, and, you know, Patrick Beverley can't, talking crap on the sidelines and all that kind of stuff. What were you
going to
say, Mark?
Well, I was going to say, finish your thoughts. I was going to talk about the NFL a little bit.
Yeah, no. Before we get that, I'll just say my last thing about the Clippers. If I saw the reports of how Paul George received eye rolling in the locker room, let me tell you this. If I was Montrezl Harrell, I would have been ready to fight Paul George in the locker room.
Yeah, Paul George is definitely not a leader. All of his comments in the bubble. Hey, he did say he was going through depression. I respect that.
Same here.
Being on it. But at the same time, he also was like, well, we didn't expect to win this year. What? He said.
Whoa, no, no, no. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, Mark. I don't mean to cut you off. You go ahead.
Yeah, that was what are you talking about? He said, oh, I don't think it was championship or bust. Yes, it was. It was championship or bust. Well, so the Lakers aren't saying that, and Anthony Davis, this is also his first year, and he's a championship or bust. He keeps saying that. If you notice, every interview, he'll say, well, our goal is to win a championship. Paul George is like, oh, well, he was like, yeah, apparently in the locker room, he was like, well, next year we're all going to come back, and everyone laughed at him.
Well, Mark, let me ask you this, and before I get into this point. If the Bulls won the 96 championship, and if in 97... Scottie Pippen said to the media, this isn't a championship or bust situation. What do you think MJ would be like the next day at practice?
What the hell is wrong with you?
What the hell is wrong with you? But before we get into the NFL, let me just say this. Paul George, you got traded for all those picks, and they brought in Kawhi Leonard in a free agency. Why? Because they felt that you are a championship caliber team. Jerry West is in the front office for the Clippers. Jerry West, come on. The guy who brought in Shaq, Kobe, the guy who drafted Klay Thompson, who also was part of the Warriors in their championship years, and he brought you in? Nah. Mm-mm. If I was Jerry West, I would try to trade him ASAP. Just for that comment, you're traded. Next on, Mark. Let's go. NFL talk. All
right, so before we get into how we think teams are doing, this past Sunday was crazy, man. There were so many injuries, all the star players, not to mention Michael Thomas on my fantasy team. That did not help me at all. I've never seen a Sunday where there was so many injuries, guys going down. The San Francisco 49ers had 4 different starters. Nick Bosa out for the season, Solomon Thomas. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt.
Raheem Mostert?
Yeah, it was crazy. All these guys were getting hurt. Left and right, but every team is going through every team has an injury. I don't think there's one team that doesn't have an injury that hurts their team right now. That's just the game it is of football, and I think it also has to do with not a lot of practice. I don't know, maybe guys' bodies aren't used to it as they would be had there been a preseason, making it easier to get injured. There's a lot of things that you could say, but besides the fact that it's not a normal season, The games have been pretty fun to watch, and I liked what I see, except for the Eagles, who look like trash right now. Carson Wentz, I don't know what he's doing. He looks like he lost his powers, like from Space Jam. Jalen Hurts is licking his chops, because if Carson Wentz keeps this up, Jalen Hurts is going to be put in there soon. But yeah, the Eagles, they've got a lot of things to figure out. And I don't know if it's coaching or just not executing, but they got to figure it out quick, or the playoffs are not happening in Philadelphia this year. But Jair, what have you thought of the games that you've seen so far?
I think that Patrick Mahomes has looked well. I mean, he led a comeback against the Chargers. It was this past weekend, right?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, it was the Chargers. He led a good comeback. Patrick Mahomes is doing what he usually does. But as for the injuries, you know, it's just so it is very strange just to see. I mean, like, just think about all the good players that have gotten hurt, going from Saquon Barkley all the way to Nick Bosa, all the way to Raheem Mostert, and so on. And for me, one injury that really bugs me the most is Raheem Mostert, because I enjoyed watching him in the playoff game last season against the Green Bay Packers, when he was just like when no one could have even guarded him in that game. Like, he was like practically untouchable.
He came out of nowhere too.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a second string. He was a backup halfback or a running back.
Not only did Raheem Mostert got hurt for the 49ers, but also their other running back, Tevin Coleman. That's two of their top running backs hurt, which is a lot. But the 49ers dealt with all those four or five injuries of their starters on Sunday. Can we talk about how they still killed the Jets in that game? The Jets suck.
That's brutal. That is brutal.
They need to fire Adam Gase. They're, like, terrible. They're the laughingstock of the league. On the other hand, there's the Jacksonville Jaguars, who before the season everyone thought was going to be a joke. And they actually look pretty tough. They're 1-1, and in every game that they've played has been super close. Like, first it was against the Colts, who they beat, and then they lost by 3 points to the Titans, who was in the playoffs last year. So they're no joke. They might not make the playoffs, but they're definitely not a disaster like the Jets.
No. The Jets' situation and the Giants' situation is bad, and MetLife Stadium right now is just. And I mean, like, you know, I even saw the reports that several teams were concerned about the grounds at MetLife Stadium out in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I don't get how that could, it's 2020 and the team has billions of dollars. I don't understand how the field would not be the way it should be. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, but as for as for the Eagles, though, I know it's. It's a brutal situation. I get it. I'm as a Mets fan. I know what it's like to feel like you're so up, and then you just get put down so hard. So, I know what you mean about that.
Definitely.
So, Mark, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, you go.
I was going to ask you, Mark. So, how do you feel about your Philadelphia Phillies now?
My Philadelphia Phillies?
Yes.
So, not great, actually, Jair. We lost two games in a row to the Nationals, who aren't even in playoff contention. I'm not completely sure. Are the Phillies still technically in it?
The Phillies are technically in it, I believe. Also, with the fact that they're adding an extra round.
It helps them.
Yeah, it definitely helps. But yeah, like, I think that you all are still going to make it, actually.
What would really suck for the Phillies is if they end up not making the playoffs and the San Francisco Giants, who are right behind them, make it with their former coach Gabe Kapler. That would look pretty bad on Joe Girardi.
Yeah, it would be very bad, especially with the fact that the Phillies had a lot of aspirations to go very far this season. And also, like Mark, can you even name one player on the San Francisco Giants other than Evan Longoria?
Johnny Cueto?
Okay, then I mean, like, sure, I'll give you that one.
Joey Bart.
Joey Bart, okay, then. I would say a Chadwick Trump or
see, I don't know who those guys are.
You know who Wilmer Flores is. Come on.
Yeah. My question for you is, what are your thoughts on the Mets? Oh, and not to mention, we gotta mention this: Steve Cohen buying the Mets.
Is it officially yet?
We need to get your thoughts on that, Jair.
Well, let's see.
Because I was pushing for A-Rod. I thought that would have been good.
Okay, hold on. Let's go. Let's talk about how we're doing first. Then we go into the management of the team and who's buying the team. Now, when we talk about the Mets right now, it's a very complex situation with me and how I view them. The Mets, to me, right now, the offense could be very good, and then when the offense is slowed down, it really slows down. But to me, the pitching situation scares me at times, especially with their starters, because other than Jacob DeGrom, and, you know, Peterson has good moments. Walker and Purcell, for the most part, have not done their job. Like, Purcell did a great job the other day against Atlanta. He gave up 1 or 1, if I'm correct. But other than that, it's just like, Steven Matz is atrocious, and we don't have anyone else. We don't, like, Stroman opted out. Syndergaard is recovered from Tommy John. It's a very rough situation to be a Mets fan. And, like, you know, now going into Steve Cohen and with the money that he can provide, before I go more into Steve Cohen, I'm just going to say, fans want Trevor Bauer to come, and they want a whole lot of other players. I say, you know, if we could get Trevor Bauer, I'd be pretty happy about it. But overall, though...
Yeah, you know what my dad actually said? He said that he would not be surprised to see the Mets go after JT Realmuto in this.
That's another one. Names that have been mentioned or rumored is JT Realmuto, George Springer, and or bringing back Marcus Stroman, or signing Trevor Bauer.
That would be great for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, overall, though, when it comes down to signing a player like JT Realmuto, my honest opinion about it is, like, if we can afford him, I say go for it.
Oh, this guy has $16 million. I think you can afford it, John.
Okay, then. As long as we can afford them, it's fine. But overall, though, Mark, the Mets' starting pitching situation scares me. And years ago when we had Matt Harvey and we had Zach Wheeler, we were supposed to be the best rotation in baseball. It's not looking like that today, doesn't it?
No. I do have a question for you, though. I just saw online that one of the things that Steve Cohen wants to do when he gets, if it becomes official, is that Brody Van Wagen would leave, and he would hire Sandy Alderson not to be general manager, but to be a consultant and a special advisor. What are your thoughts on that, given that Sandy Alderson was in charge when the Mets made the World Series in, right?
2015,
yeah.
Well, Mark, my opinion about it is that it's not bad ideas.
But he's just relatively cheap in his history, Sandy Alderson.
Repeat what you just said again, Mark.
History shows that he's been pretty cheap when it comes to signing free agents, so.
Yeah, but Steve Cohen is the one who has the money, though.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sandy Alderson's biggest splashes that I could really remember would be the, spending, like, a certain, like, a good chunk of change would have been the Cespedes trade, bringing him in and re-signing him twice, or it would have been the Kelly Johnson Juan Uribe trade.
Terrible.
That was not a bad trade for the Mets at that time.
Kelly Johnson sucks.
Kelly Johnson?
Was he good for the Mets?
He was good for us. Yes, he was.
Yeah, I think he was. Was he on the Yankees?
He was.
He was terrible.
Yeah, are you talking about? You must be talking about Tyler Clippard.
No, I'm talking about Kelly Johnson.
Dude, Kelly Johnson, when he was with the Mets, he was pretty solid.
I remember him when he was on the Yankees. He was terrible.
But anyways, though, like, as for Brody Van Wagenen, I mean, like, as for, you know what, if Steve Cohen is going to spend money on free agents, if he's willing to spend the money, and if Sandy Alderson is going to consult and say, okay, then, like, you know, maybe take a chance on this guy or take a chance on that guy. Maybe we shouldn't take a chance on this guy or take a chance on a certain that guy. I say, you know, him as a consultant is not a bad, it's not the worst idea. Throwing Brody Van Wagenen out of the building to me.
I agree. I think he sucks.
I wouldn't say Brody Van Wagenen sucks. I would say that he did very well at trying to be aggressive to bring players to a team.
And how's that worked for you guys so far?
It hasn't worked out the best. No, it hasn't.
Jed Lowry.
Okay, Mark, but let's put it this way. Jed Lowry had an all-star year the year before he came. Maybe if the Mets used that opportunity to sign DJ LeMahieu going into last year, that could have been a very huge difference. What about this? We signed Jerry Familia for 3 years, $30 million, and the Yankees signed Adam Ottavino for 3 years, $27 million.
What about the Edwin Diaz-Robinson Cano trade?
That trade has paid off a lot more for us this year than it did last year. But in the long run, we're going to be paying a grandfather like maybe $24 million a season.
Has Diaz been better this year?
Huh?
Diaz has been better this year?
Diaz has been way better this year, and so has Cano.
There you go. So maybe.
But the only thing is that people are saying that we gave up the next Christian Yelich.
Well, you never know.
But how do you feel about you wanted A-Rod, Mark, so you thought that A-Rod would have been better. Why is that?
Because he was a former player, and I think he would have also been aggressive, but at the same time that I'm thinking about it, they weren't gonna have as much money as Steve Cohen does.
Bingo.
But Jared, moving on, I saw a report today. Well, first let's talk about Billy Donovan. The former coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder was named the coach of the Bulls yesterday. I really wanted Billy Donovan to go to the Sixers, given how well he did with his team this year. A bunch of new players come in. They're not supposed to be a playoff team. They get like the fourth or fifth seed and play really well. So I would think that the Sixers would be all over that. But no, Billy Donovan goes to the Bulls. And now it's reported that the Sixers are very interested in signing Mike D'Antoni. I don't like that one. It doesn't make any sense. As our boy Derek pointed out to me earlier today, why would you hire Mike D'Antoni to a team that can't hit threes when all Mike D'Antoni's philosophy is shooting a ton of threes? It doesn't make any sense at all. And he doesn't coach defense either, so This doesn't seem like a good decision. I could be completely wrong, though, and he could be great. But why go for a risky pick when you could take someone like Mark Jackson or Ty Lue, who is a bit more balanced in their philosophies?
If I were to go for a recycled coach out of all those options, I probably would have gone for Tyronn Lue. Mike D'Antoni to me, I mean, who knows, Mark? I'm going to crack a joke on this one. Maybe this means that Ben Simmons could get out to the gym more and practice his three-pointers and be...
Well, every offseason, it's been that he's been practicing his threes. Oh, he looks great. He's great. Yeah, okay.
But when it comes down to game time...
I'll give him this.
Simmons won't wide open for three.
He finally hit a three in a season this year, so I'll give him that, but... I don't know how much of a difference it really made, but
okay. Let's
Jair. I want to hear. I can't talk about the Sixers head coaching too much because it's just gonna get me upset. So we might as well.
Let me just briefly just say something about Mike D'Antoni. I agree with you. I wouldn't be too in favor of that signing. Also, I'm not like, you know, I don't know maybe it was Daryl Morey's, or maybe the owners or someone, maybe James Harden. It could have been one of their philosophies of, oh, let's just shoot as many three-pointers as we can or something like that. And to me, it's a bad strategy. Look at how Game 7 of the 2018 Western Conference Finals turned out, even though the Rockets were up double digits going into halftime. As for the Sixers, though, like, I don't think that it would be a very good idea. Really? First off, I think that you all need to trade away Al Horford for whoever.
Well, I was just going to say, unless there's like a potential mock draft, mock trade, the rumor that the Sixers would trade Al Horford to, let's say, the Kings for Buddy Hield. That would help Mike D'Antoni's philosophy just a little bit. But still, that's only one guy.
I don't even, first off, I think Mike D'Antoni needs to trade his whole entire, needs to change his whole entire philosophy.
But we could talk about this all day, but Jair, let's get into our segment. Who's your star of the week?
My star of the week? My star of the week for this week happens to be Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
Why? Who's your star of the week, Mark?
Well, my star of the week is Cam Newton. I know he lost to the Seahawks on Sunday, but, man, he looks like... He looks like a superstar. He looks back, and his arm looks better than it did before. So the Patriots have to be super happy. And if I'm Bill Belichick and the Patriots, I want to sign Cam Newton to a contract extension as soon as possible before his stock just gets even higher. Because from what I've seen the past 2 weeks, the first week against the Dolphins, who, can I mention, are not as good as the Seahawks defense, he didn't throw the ball that much, but he ran in for touchdowns and they dominated the game. And then people were like, oh, well, how's he going to do against a good team? Well, he threw for almost 400 yards and looked like a complete stud. So that's my winner this week.
What about your loser of the week, Mark?
My loser of the week is the Chargers organization and especially their team doctor. I don't know if you heard about the news today with Tyrod Taylor, Jair, but...
Report came out today. That is brutal.
Tyrod Taylor had a cracked ribs from week one. And apparently on this past Sunday, he was getting some kind of shot or something to make the pain go away. And he actually ended up puncturing Tyrod Taylor's lungs, which is like, what? So that guy's going to get fired. He should get fired. And it just makes the organization look like they don't know who they're hiring. Like, how do you have someone working for your team, specifically for their health, trying to help them get better and puncture their lung? That just, I feel like that's an accident that should not happen if you know how to do your job.
I mean, sounds to me similar to the situation in a small sense of when Kevin Durant went out for game 5 of the 2019 NBA Finals and fully tore his Achilles and Shannon Sharp came onto Undisputed the next day and said, you see, this is why team doctors versus real hospitals are a big thing. Because the reality of the situation is that the team doctor is just going to try to help out the team.
This is just like ridiculous, though.
I feel so bad to hear that about Tyrod Taylor. My loser of the week, and who knows, he might just be my loser of the week for quite a while, is Paul George. Paul George.
Jay, is Paul George going to become your new DeMar DeRozan?
That's a tough one.
If you guys don't know this, Jair, for some reason, has it out for DeMar DeRozan because he doesn't think he's clutch and thinks he's very overrated. So whenever DeMar DeRozan comes up in conversation, Jair is very animated and against DeMar DeRozan. But go on.
I am.
No.
How many times has when DeMar DeRozan was in Toronto?
We're talking about Paul George here, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I was just going to tell.
No, you're right. He's right. But he's still a talented player. He's just not clutch. He also doesn't conduct himself the way Paul George does, who's like, who has like the Gatorade commercial and tries to say that he's a complete superstar. DeMar DeRozan doesn't act like that.
Let me tell you something, Mark. Why, like, dude, you're Paul George. You're a grown-ass man. Stop with the little ticky-tack, I'm posting this on Instagram because I don't give an F about what these viewers say about me. Why are you posting all that? Just stop talking and put your head down and grind. Stop the trash talk, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Put your head down and grind. Talking up a bunch of junk about everyone else. Look, I get it. Depression, it happens to the best of us.
That's not even what we're talking about, though. That has nothing to do with
it. No. I'm just saying, I get that part. But when it comes down to how you're acting, how you're talking about this guy, that guy, put your head down and just hit the grind, dude. That's all I can really try to tell you. And it's just your antics.
out there on the court, and when it comes down to the moment, you're hitting the side of the backboard. Call me playoff P, more like way off P.
I call him pandemic P.
Or pandemic P. And, you know, I heard a bunch of stuff about the attitudes of the Clippers and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just – and you know why he's also – and as we talked about earlier before, Mark, it's just the fact of how he could stay. This was not a championship or a bust.
Yeah, season. Bro, what are you talking about? Like, is that why when they – the rumors – well, when news broke that Paul George and Kawhi were both – because I'm pretty sure that it was basically – at the same day, it was announced they were both going. It happened on the same day, right?
Kawhi I think signed, it and then the literally,
like,
think,
a few hours later, trade went through.
I remember, like...
Do you remember
like
Patrick Clippers. Beverly and Lou Williams? They were, like, posting on their Snap story, whatever. Like, don't count us out. Like, we're coming for it. Like, come on.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah. They're telling the league, like, you know, be aware.
Watch out. Yeah,
let me ask you this, Mark. Remember when we all were saying, everyone is talking, the Clippers, they're going to be this nice new defensive team. You can't score on them because you're going to have Patrick Beverly, you're going to have Kawhi, you're going to have Paul George, you're going to have Montrezl Harrell all in the same lineup. Remember that? How in the hell were the Clippers giving up like 120 points a game?
Oh, and before I completely forget, I don't know if you saw, but on Sunday, Montrezl Harrell made some kind of tweet about the Falcons blowing a 20-point lead to the Cowboys. And everyone's like, oh, are you kidding me? You're making fun of them? You just blew a 3-point lead. What are you talking about, bro?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mark, what's your funniest moment of the week?
All right. To end it, my funnest moment of the week is my boy John Gruden, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, in the locker room after beating the Saints on Monday night, doing some kind of like special dance, and the entire team was just so into it. Everyone loved it. All the guys went crazy. You could just tell how much they liked their coach, because that doesn't always happen, and that's why they kind of remind me of the Heat, like of the NFL. Like, the Heat, they don't have all the talent, but you can tell the chemistry's there and the coaching's there. That's kind of what the Raiders remind me. I know it's really early in the season, but they look pretty legit. So, the Raiders, if the Eagles continue to suck, I might just have to get on that Raiders bandwagon for this year.
Interesting, Mark. You know, and, like, I thought, and I saw the dance, and it was actually pretty hysterical. It's always funny to see stuff like that.
That guy's the man, yeah. John Gruden's always funny.
Yep. Oh, hold on. Knock on wood if you hear me. I remember that one from Hard
Knocks. So, what is your funniest moment of the week?
Oh, it was when the reports came out that the Clippers were eye rolling at Paul George in the locker room because, you know, his speech about saying how we're going to come back next year and everything like that. And the reason why for that, Mark, is just the fact of, you know, as I said, why don't you shut up? You're talking, as I said, talking up in the locker room, oh, we're going to come back next year. You made us look like a fool. And if I was Doc Rivers, and I heard Paul George say all that, I'd tell him to shut up in front of everyone. Sit down, stop, shut up. Because honestly, you have – Jerry West, shut up, Paul. Sit down. And I'll give the closeout speech. At the exit meetings, Mark, I swear. I was Jerry West or Doc Rivers. I have everyone else, all the 14 other guys come up to me. You had a good season, you did this. You had a bad season, improve on this. I'd have to wait an extra week or 2 weeks for Paul. Then I'd say, Paul, come in. Never ever do that again. I swear, don't ever do that. Don't ever embarrass us like this again. Way off P. Playoff P. I'm coming. You know, they don't know who they mess with. Talking about Damian Lillard and everything like that, talking about him, this, that, the other. Focus on yourself and be a better player. Be a better person than that.
I agree with you, man.
Well, you're this old and you have children. Grow up.
Well, Jair, before we end, I would like to know, who do you have tonight? Not who you want. Who do you think is going to win tonight between the Celtics and the Miami Heat in Game 4?
They had 2 days off. I think I would not be surprised if Boston won tonight.
Oh, God. I think the Heat are going to win, but I also would not be surprised.
I hope you're right. I want you to be right.
But before we end, I want to give a shout-out to Tay on the track, as usual.
Absolutely.
And Jair, I'm looking forward to doing this again next week. Hopefully, there'll be a lot more exciting news to talk about.
Yeah, hopefully so. I'm just hoping that the Heat win.
All right, be safe, man.
Yeah, you too.
To listen to more Tripod Productions, go to thetriangle.org/podcasts.